So this week, I've kind of had a little project going on in my rectory that I'm working on a chapel that's in there. When the house was built, it was kind of built initially as kind of like a parlor or welcome room, an office study type deal. And then Father Volker actually started a chapel. He kind of put some stuff in there for a chapel and altar and all that stuff. And so I'm kind of continuing that as the chapel. And it's one of my thoughts that's been rolling around in my back of a head for several months now, and really actually over a year, is the idea of taking the glass, the window that's in there, and putting some, like, the static cling film, like stained glass look in there. So that's been, I've been thinking about this for well over a year, and finally about a month ago, and part of the problem was I couldn't decide what image I wanted to do. I thought, you know, I'm a priest, maybe something with priests like St. John Vianney or like St. Peter and St. Paul or the Blessed Mother or like Eucharistic theme or something like that. And as I was praying and as I was kind of going through Etsy and looking all the things, yes, I have an Etsy account that has shocked several people, but I came across this image of the handing on of the keys. It's a three-panel image of the handing on of the keys from Jesus to Peter. And I saw that and I sat with it and I like, I knew that's the one I needed to get. So I ordered this a little over a month ago, and it finally showed up just Thursday of this week. And so quick as I could, I opened it, and I started putting these things in. So the last several mornings, that's been the image I've been praying with, the image of the keys. Now, when I ordered this a month and a half ago, whatever it was, I didn't realize that it would be lining up with the gospel of today. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And so it just so happened that as I'm praying with this gospel throughout the week in Lectio Divina, right directly in front of me is this image, this beautiful image of St. Peter kneeling in humility, receiving the keys from Jesus, and praying with that image as what's called Visio Divina, where Lectio Divina, you pray with what you read. Visio Divina is you pray with what you see. And for what it's worth, the church has always insisted on having beautiful spaces to be able to pray. Stained glass windows, where this is like one of those things that it's supposed to be a catechism. You look at the eight beatitudes of our stained glass windows, and it hands on the faith by what we see visually. But along those same lines of you know, even just praying with St. Peter handing the keys, but also our big stained glass windows here. Tu es Petrus. You are Peter. Tibi dabo claves. I will give you keys. Right? So being St. Peter the Apostle Church, this Matthew 16 is drawn, what we're reading today in our gospel is intentionally put in our stained glass windows because we are St. Peter. He is our patron. And this moment of today's gospel is immensely, immensely important. But even with all of that, like, I don't know, how often have you looked at these stained glass windows and really haven't thought much about it? Do you understand the significance of the keys? There's so much symbolism in that. That's the crest of the Vatican, of the papal states. And you've seen the Vatican flag. It's over there in the corner, half yellow, half white. You notice the keys are two different colors. Ever paid attention to that? There's a gold key and a silver key. The gold key represents the authority of heaven to unlock the pearly gate, so to speak. And the silver key is the earthly authority. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's the keys for both. And then even the yellow and the white actually are supposed to be the same thing. The yellow is the heavenly, the white is the earthly. And then even like the kind of the dome thing in the middle there, that's a crown. And the popes used to wear that. The last pope to wear that papal tiara is what it's called. The last pope to wear that was Pope Paul VI. So it's been a minute. It's kind of been phased out. But that's got what's called a triple tiara. You look at the three rings of that crown. Those three rings also represent different levels of authority. So popes have worn a variation of a tiara since the 7th or 8th century that we know of for sure. But they've kind of been added on throughout the centuries. And really, since Pope Pius VI and where we are today, like there's just there is a lot of ostentation, a lot of show, a lot of just like flashiness that the popes have since then kind of scaled back. But that first ring, that's supposed to be the governor of the world. That's what that represents. The pope as governor with the earth. It's basically what the silver key represents. He has power on earth or authority on earth of that earthly realm, earthly domain. The next ring, I love this title. This isn't a title that we hear very often anymore because we don't have kings. But that second crown, that middle tiara, that is the father of kings. It's supposed to be, now we have presidents anymore, and we have parliaments, and we have various democracies, and we don't have a lot of kings these days. But the idea is the pope is a spiritual leader even among the leaders of the church. Now, we don't, again, I don't know the last time we had a lot of political authorities that actually paid any attention to the pope, but that's where that the idea comes from, and it's still very much embedded there. And then the last one, this is the one that I think is we hear that's continued the most often to today, is the vicar of Christ. Now, we hear that as Catholics, especially cradle Catholics, and we don't think anything about it. He's the vicar of Christ. Yeah, cool, got it. But for our Protestant brothers and sisters, to hear that of like a man is the vicar. Well, what's a vicar? A vicar is like the representative. So when I was first ordained, I was at Blessed Sacrament here in Wichita, and I was the parochial vicar. In other words, I represented the pastor. I didn't have the authority of the pastor, but I worked under his authority and preaching and teaching and baptizing and so on, but I represented him in that sense. The bishop has vicars. He has a vicar for clergy. He has a vicar for vocations. He has vicars for a judicial vicar for the tribunal, all those kind of things. But the idea is it all comes back down to the pope, the bishop as that figurehead, and really the pope as the leader of the whole church. It's this internal structure. Okay, that's all, you know, that's all well and good. But the vicar of Christ? Here's the thing, though. Of like, that's where the keys are an incredibly important, significant thing. And I don't know if you noticed in our first reading today, it's this reading that there was a steward, and God was not happy with them. You know, you're fired, I'm getting a new guy, kick rocks, you're out of here, and I'm hiring a new steward. And what it talks about is I will hand him, I will grab him, I will choose him, and I will give him the keys. All the way back from Ezekiel, all the way back to today, I will hand on the keys of authority. Now, this idea of stewardship, and we are in Wichita, we talk about stewardship all the time. That's our way of life. But understanding, I mean, to remember, to be reminded, what is a steward? A steward, especially of kings of old, the king, when he would go on vacation, when he'd go out to war, when he'd go on, you know, he'd be leaving, he wouldn't make the next guy the king. He would hand on the authority as a steward. Hey, take care of the house. I'm going to go on vacation. I'll be back in a couple of months. You know, I'm going down to the beach or Avignon, or I'm going to go on crusades and King, you know, King Richard, and I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be back in 3 years. There was a steward of England who took over for him. He wasn't the king. He was a steward. He had the authority of the king, and he could act as a tyrant if he wanted to, but he wasn't the king. That idea, that sense of stewardship, that is what the pope is. The church does not belong to the pope. It didn't belong to Peter. It doesn't belong to Pope Leo or any of the others. It's not theirs, but they hold the keys. But I guess for us, we are also stewards. And that's the reminder that like the things that we hold, the things that fall within our little kingdom, our territory, our home, the chapel and the rectory, I'm the steward of that chapel.
And we have a responsibility to understand that it belongs to the Lord and not to us. A little side note here. I don't know if you know, but Fulton Sheen is about to be beatified. He's going to be made a blessed on September 12th, just a couple of weeks from now. And so September 12th. So in preparation and anticipation for that, I've been reading a book from Fulton Sheen called Your Life is Worth Living. And it's a collection of his various broadcasts that he did back in the day. And in one of those that I was just listening to, he talks about, he uses an example that I've never heard before in terms of connection to Rome and this delineation of authority. And he talks about like a plug-in, an extension cord, essentially. You have a light, you have a vacuum cleaner, you have a toaster oven, whatever it is. He said, it's not good enough to be close to the receptacle. You know, you take the extension cord and you throw it over there and it's by the receptacle. That's all well and good, but it doesn't do anything. You have to be plugged in. You have to be connected to that receptacle in order for you to the power to flow from the receptacle into whatever it is you're trying to do. Try to turn on a light with it, the power being close to it, well, that's not going to get you there. It has to be that direct connection, the plugged in-ness. And there is a vast, vast difference between close and connected and plugged in. I've never heard that analogy before, but as I've sat with it, it just really has been swirling around in terms of stewardship. Are we close? Do we get close in our stewardship, or are we actually plugged in? Me as a priest, I cannot absolve sins. If I was to say, I absolve you of your sins to somebody, without the authority of the bishop, nothing would happen. The only reason I'm able to absolve sins is because I've been granted that delegation from the bishop. And if he revokes it, I can't absolve sins anymore. It's that plugged in, that connectedness. In terms of us and how we live our lives as stewards, are we just kind of getting close, or are we actually connected and plugged in? I think that's a question worth asking. And there are some very specific ways where I feel like we get close and don't actually follow all the way through. And I think the biggest one, the most obvious one, is attending Mass on Sunday, these precepts of the church, attending Mass on Sunday and holy days of obligation. That is an actual precept of the church. But how easy is it for us to absolve ourselves and say, well, maybe that rule applies to somebody else, but I'm busy. I don't need to do it. I'm like, if I get around to it, that's great. But that is in fact a precept of the church. And if we are absolving ourselves in that way, we're unplugging ourselves from the wall. You know, there's so many ways that we get close, but it's not the same thing as being plugged in. And our stewardship of how we give our time, our talent, our treasure, are we really tithing that 10%, 8% to the church and 2% to other charities? Or are we just, maybe I'll give some this week because I got some left over. It's not going to hurt me. But not, I mean, there is a big difference between giving some, which is all well and good, and being committed to stewardship and tithing, even when it hurts. So many ways when we look at, am I getting close or am I living and plugged in? This authority that's been kind of coming down and like, am I connected in the body of Christ or am I an outlier? I think that's a very, very apropos point of reflection for today on this Sunday. May we, like Peter, be good stewards of what the Lord has entrusted to us.